Our doctor is in, and so are the doctors of Capital Health. Welcome to the all-new Health 411. Every Sunday morning at 10, Dr. Jonathan Karp, along with our respected panel of guests from Capital Health, take you on an important medical journey to help you navigate your health and the healthcare system to reach your destination, good health. Health 411 is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.
107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com, proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019, 2021, and 2022 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station, as well as the winner of the 2023 IBS College and Media Award for universities under 10,000 students. We are broadcasting from the Bronx All Digital Studios on the Lawrenceville campus of Rider University. Welcome to Health 411. I'm your host, Professor Jonathan Karp. This Health 411 program is presented by Capital Health. In Health 411, we discuss a variety of issues involving health and wellness, public health, healthcare policy, and the science of health and healthcare. Our goal is to expand your knowledge and your perspective. Today, Dan Geller, our student producer, and I have our guest with us, Dr. Carolyn Ward. Dr. Ward is the Director of Clinical Strategy at Particle Health. Welcome to the Health 411 program, Dr. Ward.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure having you here today. And why don't we begin with you telling us just a little bit. So why don't we start with telling us what Particle Health is and what your role is at that company?
Absolutely. So at Particle Health, what we do is we have an API that allows us to pull together patient records so that we can go ahead and query across the three national networks for all of your clinical data. We put it together into one longitudinal patient history so that other physicians and providers who are treating you can use that data to help to inform future treatment decisions.
Cool. So it's sort of the business of assembling healthcare information. Now, you come at this. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Now, you come at it from sort of a non-traditional path. So your path to this sort of industry is a little unusual. Can you explain that to us?
Absolutely. So I'm an internal medicine doc by training. I'm actually originally from New Jersey, did all of my medical training at Rutgers Robert Wood. And after that, I worked as an outpatient primary care doctor. And during this whole process, one of the things that I kind of started to realize is that a lot of the strain on the healthcare system has to do with how healthcare data is passed around the system. There's a lot of blockers to getting it. And I'm sure if you've been to a doctor's office recently, you probably noticed that we actually still use the fax machine to get a lot of records. And what that process actually looks like today, which is really crazy for 2023, is essentially as a physician, I say, hey, I am seeing this patient in my office. They saw some cardiologist. I'm going to go ahead and fax a request to that cardiologist. Hopefully that fax goes through. If it doesn't, we're going to have to refax it. We're going to have to call the office, ask them if they received our fax. Why haven't they answered our fax? That office is then going to have to print out or download all of that patient's records from them. They're going to fax that back to me. That's going to get uploaded into my EMR as a PDF. And then as a PCP, I'm going to sit there and click through a 200-page PDF document to find the one piece of information I'm looking for. That's not a great process because one, takes a lot of time. It's very tedious. But two, I'm requesting that record probably because I need like one or two very specific facts about the patient. But the way that that information comes to me makes it so that I actually can't really utilize the other information and the other 199 pages that I'm seeing, right? So I'll look for that one piece of information. I'll type it into the EMR and maybe put in a clinical code that is in fact structured. But all the other information there, there's probably some really good information. Like maybe I'm looking for an EKG, but there's also like recent cholesterol labs or a hemoglobin A1C lab or blood pressures. And if we had a way to actually ingest that information in a structured way into my EMR, I could actually use that information to treat the patient in a way that allows me to have more line of sight into what is actually happening with this patient instead of only being able to see the information that is generated in my office. And so actually the reason I joined Particle was because I realized that their solution solves that problem. It allows us to take all of this information and input it into your EMR in a way that is actually usable. Now, the kind of interesting thing here is that in solving that problem, what we basically found is we now get so much data that you kind of have the reverse problem where you have too much data instead of not enough. And so a lot of my role as the director of clinical strategy is helping our company understand how clinical data is used in different clinical workflows, in different situations, by different providers and at different times, so that we can start to develop an understanding and a logic of what pieces of information are actually the most useful to surface to the right person at the right time.
So it's working at a undergraduate institution, we have a lot of students here whose goal is to go to medical school and sort of do exactly what you did, right? And you ask them, why do you want to go to medical school, right? And the first answer is, oh, I want to help people, right? And you did that, but then you have left the sort of the clinic, so to speak. You've left that place where you're digesting those 200 pages of facts things for your patients. Can you talk about, we'll come back to particle health and what it does, but for the, to grab the interest, the students who might be interesting, what was your journey that sort of changed your focus? Because I'm sure you had to do that. You had to convince somebody that you wanted to take care of patients, but now you're not.
Absolutely.
So please tell us about that journey.
I would say there's kind of two parts to that answer. The first part is you're absolutely right. I have mentored a lot of medical students, residents, pre-meds, and also all of my colleagues, right, who are in the medical field. Unanimously, people will say that they go into medicine to help people. They'll also say it's because they were looking for something that was challenging, intellectually stimulating. And I think a lot of what happens, and this kind of speaks to like physician burnout, which can even happen as early as training, is that you put these like really smart, intelligent, driven, and empathetic people into a system where they have very little autonomy and spend a vast bulk of their time in front of a computer instead of in front of a patient. There's a lot of different ways to make impact in the world and to improve lives that is outside of medicine. And a lot of what draws this group of people into medicine is usually that it's people facing.
Correct.
And they want to be in front of people, talking to people, helping people. But actually, when they get into the real world of how medicine is practiced today, a lot of your time is actually in front of a computer, entering billing codes, entering orders, typing up like what you think is going on with the patient. And actually very, very little amount of your time is in front of actual other people. And I think that that is something that is very jarring for folks when they actually get into the practice of medicine. It's very different from what they kind of say motivates them to go into medicine. And as a result, I think a lot of people burn out because, as you can imagine, like sitting in front of a computer typing all day is not like a great way to establish a physician-patient relationship.
I've had physicians sitting in front of their computer typing with their back to me while you're sitting in the room and you're going like, what is this? Right?
And like at the end of the day, like there's all these different initiatives. Like people are like, well, if we put the computer this way, like the physician can still look at you. But I'm like, at the end of the day, you're still just trying to get the information into the EMR in a way that may be useful for like insurance purposes, billing purposes, and then hopefully also treatment purposes down the road. And again, that's actually why I think a lot of physician burnout is really like a data problem. It's how we use and store data in the healthcare system.
Okay, you're a physician, you're experiencing some of that burnout and that frustration. How do you go from sitting in that office with a patient, even though you're frustrated, to finding a company like Particle Health, knowing that this is an alternative path that I want to do?
Yeah, I think there's kind of like two groups of people. The first group is like, their calling truly is to just be a physician. And they're like, I will put my head down and I will do whatever it takes. You ask me to jump through whatever hoops, I will jump through them to take care of these patients. And then there's a separate group that's, I think I kind of fall into, where like you take your head up and you're like, there has got to be a better way to do this. Like, this is not sustainable. There's already a huge primary care physician shortage in the United States. And we have to be able to follow the other industries that have used technology to scale this kind of level of expertise. And that's ultimately when I said, you know, I think there's a better way to do this. I want to join a company that is working on solving these higher system-wide problems, but also I want to be able to have a greater impact during my career. As a solo primary care physician, the amount of lives you can impact really has to do with how many patients you can see in a day. And even if you work 7 days a week for 40 years in a row, seeing, let's say, 25 patients a day, that's still a pretty limited number of people over the course of your career. But if you can create a solution that affects the entire healthcare system as a whole, that really expands your impact over your lifetime. And that's really what gave me the impetus to say, like, hey, I think I want to make a career switch.
Excellent. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief break for our underwriting announcements, and we're going to come back and we're going to hear about how Dr. Ward's path to search for a better way led her to Particle Health and how she is influencing her impact on more and more patients all the time. So we'll be right back on Health 411. You are listening to 107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health.
There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit.
Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com. Welcome back to Health 411. We're having a conversation today with Dr. Carolyn Ward. She is a physician who now works at Particle Health as a director of clinical strategy. Dr. Ward was saying she was a primary care physician, and she was being very frustrated and experiencing some burnout with the interactions or the interfacing of the physicians have to do with the computer. And how did that lead you to Particle Health?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, I found Particle and realized that their mission really has to do with the portability and the interoperability of clinical data, which I feel like is a huge and important problem to tackle in the healthcare space and leads to a lot of downstream problems. So I feel like if you can tackle the root of the problem, it will make a lot of things smoother down the road. And when you think about, I think my interest in this area really has to do with what can you do when you have truly comprehensive clinical data on a patient? So if you were in a ideal world, be able to take all of the data that a patient generates over their lifetime and have full line of sight. As a physician, if you could have full line of sight into all that data, what would you be able to do that you would not be able to do today? And I think that that leads to a lot of like really exciting possibilities where you can start to see what are the trends in that data? Can you start to really use that data to understand preventive medicine? What is likely to happen to this person if you do absolutely nothing? Right. If we leave Carolyn to her current habits and we don't intervene at all, mm-hmm. you could eventually take that data and create like a digital twin of Carolyn and understand if I manipulate this data in X, Y, and Z way, or if I just leave it alone, what is Carolyn like? What's likely to happen to Carolyn? What kind of diseases is she likely to develop? How likely is she?
I have to ask you, since you brought this up, about your reaction to recent reports of saying that artificial intelligence does as a good job or better at making some of those predictions and doing a differential diagnosis than physicians in the room. What do you think? What's your reaction to that? Now, first of all, is Particle Health about doing diagnoses, or is it just data presentation? And then take that to the question that I just asked.
Yeah, so I'll start with the Particle bit first.
Okay.
So what Particle does right now is it aggregates and pulls all this data together. What we are now looking at doing, which I think is kind of the more exciting part for me, and why I stepped into this role, is we want to see this huge data set that we have for every individual patient and see what are the insights that we can help to lift. We want people to be able to build on top of our platform. And maybe in that future, that means machine learning and AI programs and things like that. But at the end of the day, the real question is, when a physician goes to look at this clinical data, and they maybe are looking at like one, let's say a creatinine value, right? What are the pieces of data that are actually attached to that value and surrounding it? What are they likely to want to see next and why? I think being able to map those kind of connections is really powerful. Technically, all pieces of clinical data are related in some way to some degree, but the degree to which they are related and used together is different. And being able to understand the difference in degrees is really powerful.
So particle health is organizing then the data for the positions and putting like things together, separating unlike things together. Am I getting that sort of right with the
standard?
That's
exactly correct. So that's really the direction that we're going, is understanding what are the ways that people actually use this data in the real world, and how can we help make it easier for them? So one of the things, kind of going back to what you're saying about AI and diagnostics, is that back in the day, you used to have a physician that would come to your house with a black bag, right? And they would make house calls. The reason that used to happen is because everything we knew about how to treat patients fit in that black bag, right? It was like leeches or like, you know,
that's
whatever.
That's a great way to say it. Yes.
For somebody to go in and say, hey, like, these are the five things that I can give you. These are the five potential treatments. Let me pick one. Today, that's obviously completely different from how medicine operates today. There is so much information. If you think about the way medical training is today, it's actually still pretty much an apprenticeship model. And there is still kind of the expectation that a physician should be able to keep all of this information in their head, see and talk to a patient, get some diagnostic information, and decide what is wrong with this patient or what is the most likely next step that would give them the right piece of information to make that diagnosis. I actually believe that like the further we get into medicine and like in the future, the less likely that that is going to be true. At a certain point, you probably don't want just one person trying to ingest all this data and coming up with an answer. You're probably going to want a team of people, and you're probably going to want them to have access to all of this data through a computer, right? And I think that as medicine becomes more complicated, and also as we lean more into personalized medicine, meaning for you as an individual, based off of what I know about you, based off all your genetics, this is the exact treatment you should be on. The closer we get to that world, the more likely it is that we are going to have to lean more heavily on machine learning.
Okay, I'm gonna try to put words in your mouth. So you're saying the artificial intelligence, in terms of looking forward, in terms of clinical medicine, is gonna be a tool that can be used by physicians. It's not going to replace the physician. And to go back to your analogy of the black bag, it's something that a physician can carry in that, in the modern day black bag, to help make a diagnosis, to help affect a treatment plan. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. And so that it leads into my next strategy. You're a trained physician, but now you're in the world of industry. How do those two things compare? Like on a day-to-day basis, you're not seeing patients, but you were trained to see patients. So what's going on here?
Yeah, it's actually been a really interesting switch. I will say that I feel like this role fits me a lot better, but I actually use a lot of what I learned in residency and interacting with patients and diagnosing.
So
in the
learned in terms of the physiology and medicine, or learned in terms of interpersonal contact kind of stuff, or working with people?
I would say interpersonal contact and the way you think about problems. So a lot of it has to do with interpersonal wise. For example, in healthcare and medicine, you spend a lot of your time with patients trying to explain to them very complicated clinical concepts in a way that they would understand, and in a way that would help them and empower them to take action for their health. So there's tons of people who have come to me in the past who say, like, I want to lose weight, right? But they don't know what they have to do to lose weight. And you can educate them on that. But then there's people who come and they're like, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to exercise, right? Or I, you know, want to achieve this health goal, but I don't want to have to do X, Y, and Z. Or sometimes they're like, I understand this health issue is a problem, but I don't want to tackle it. And a lot of like our job as physicians is to help people to understand and make educated decisions about their health. And so I'm never the kind of person who's like, you must be on this medication, you must take this. But I do want to help you to understand what will happen if you do take this medication and what will happen if you don't take this medication. What will happen if you do exercise and lose this weight and what will happen if you don't? So that as an individual, you can understand the context of the decision that you're making. And actually, like in the business side, it's a very similar thing. A lot of times, you know, you're working on these interdisciplinary teams where people have a different type of expertise that they are bringing to the table. And it's your job as a team member to get everybody else to understand your input in a way that makes sense to them and that in a way that allows them to make those educated decisions.
Wow. So you have to simplify things for your colleagues in ways that will empower them to make their own. I'm just listening and responding, but I'm making fun. But I do get what you're saying. And so are you describing then, there's a lot of jobs in industry. I'm an academic, but there's a lot of jobs in industry that I understand what the person does. Did you just describe the role as a director of clinical strategy?
Essentially, yes.
Okay, so you have to explain sort of the medicine side of what you're presenting and what you're asking the other team members and the all the people that you're asking them to do and things like that. Did I get that?
Exactly. So okay. A lot of it is explaining like, hey, it's not just that these are the five buckets of information that I would use in this particular workflow. What you really want to get people to understand, especially when you're building product, is how would that end user actually interact with your product? It's really not good enough in this day and age to just be able to say, I'm going to throw these five pieces of data at you because I know that that's what you use. That's really like not a feasible way to make a product. What you really want to understand is how do they retrieve that data currently in their current solution today? And what are the pain points of like why that's difficult. And cool. Does your solution actually solve those pain points?
Cool.
You can give them the same amount of data, but if it doesn't solve the pain point, like in order to get that data, I had to spend 5 minutes. Or is amount of time I took the main pain point for me? Or is it the reliability? Do I trust that data source? Or is it the fact that I have to hire another person to be able to do that? So it's a cost thing. So I think a lot of it is taking this information and placing it in the clinical context so that your team members can understand what it's like to be an end user and what they really care about, and marrying that with what is actually the most effective from a clinical management standpoint.
Excellent. So, Dr. Ward, we are going to take a break for some underwriting announcements here on Health 411, and we'll come right back and continue the conversation. You are listening to 1077 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 1077 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health.
There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advanced Medicine.
107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com. Welcome back to Health 411 from the Digital Bronx Studios at Rider University. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Carolyn Ward, Director of Clinical Strategy at Particle Health. Particle Health is a company that is in the business of organizing health information and delivering it to caregivers. And Dr. Ward's telling us about that. What role does privacy have in this? Because you can imagine physicians that you're going to or sense are do-gooders, but can that information then get to people with nefarious intent and be used in ways that you might not want it to be?
That's a great question. It's also what makes clinical data as a problem such an interesting and complex problem in the United States.
Yes.
Because obviously security and privacy is a huge part of it, right? As it stands today, the way these networks will respond to requests is based off the treatment purpose of use, which essentially means you can really only get access to this data if you're a provider that's actively treating the patient. So that's pretty good. But Particle is actually founded on the premise that we believe that patients should have individual access rights to their healthcare data, which sounds like a really obvious thing when I say it out loud. But if you think about how, if you actually want to get your healthcare, your healthcare data today, how would that actually happen? For most people, it means you would have to call your healthcare provider.
You have to have a fax machine.
Exactly. They would have to print it out for you. They'll probably charge you for the printer and the paper. And then, like, what do you actually get? You get paper, right? Like, that's not portable. That's not super usable. You have one copy of it. You can bring it to your next healthcare provider. But, like, is that really a usable form of your healthcare data? Not really, right? And so what we really want to do is get to a world where individuals have full control over who accesses their healthcare data and how. And so what I mean by that is, let's say you want to enroll in a clinical trial. What you would essentially have to do is fill out like a ton of questions. You'd have to get new blood work. They would have to request your healthcare data. A lot of that means that like any patient portals that you're subscribed to, you would have to remember all of the logins, all of the passwords, every provider you've seen in the past, which is like not super doable. But if it could just be a button where you say, yes, I want this clinical trial to have access to my healthcare information, that would make things so much easier for you as a patient, in addition to the researchers, right? And so we want to get to a world where patients are able to say, I have access to my own healthcare data in its entirety, and I also have the ability to control who accesses my data and what pieces of data they access.
Because you're also be faced in that context, and you described it well for physicians, that you want the data delivered to them in an organized sort of way that they can understand it, they don't have to sort through hundreds and hundreds of pages. But if patients have access to the data, it's still an understanding process. It's a huge amount of data. I mean, even nowadays, I have friends and colleagues who get blood work done, and they're like, you know, what are these things? You know what? You know what's, you know, ALK? All these letters and numbers, and so is the understanding directed that Particle Health is directed just for physicians, or is it organized in such a way that patients may also understand what the physicians are looking at?
Great question. There's actually a lot of different companies in this space today. And I actually, as a physician, believe really strongly that giving patients their own data and giving them a way to understand that data is incredibly empowering for patients to make the right actions in their life to stay healthy and happy. And so what I mean by that is, you're absolutely right. When you look at all, if I just gave you all of your healthcare data, some of it you might be able to understand, like the free text, but a lot of it you'd be like, I don't know what this means. Like, we all get blood work back and you see something's out of range. And sometimes your doctor's like, meh, that doesn't really matter. And sometimes they're like, that's a big problem. But as a patient, you don't actually have a way to understand the difference between
Correct.
Those two things.
Yes.
And I do think that part of what needs to be done in tandem with getting patients access to their records is giving them an understanding of what that means. And so when you think about, let's say your Apple Health Kit, like if you go into your, if you have an iPhone, you have a the app that has all of like your steps trended in it, and you can like connect a bunch of stuff to it and track your sleep or your steps or your exercise. What is actually like really powerful about that is the trends section, right? So if you were to just be able to, whether it's you as a patient or you as a physician, look at like this hour, so-and-so took this many steps. The next hour, they took this many steps. That's not useful. And it's an inundation of information.
Correct.
But when you look at the trends and Apple Health is able to say, this past week, you took 100 less steps on average per day than the week before, that becomes useful. So I think like, part of this is also useful for the physician side, but definitely for the patient side. I think it's understanding when there's a change in a trend that needs to be alerted to a physician. is really helpful. I think some of this, and you know, companies like the Oura Ring and Fitbit, and you know, the Apple Watch are getting into this idea of like, can we start using wearable devices to help people understand trends that may inform their health? And if you think about like how powerful it'd be to be able to marry that information with clinical data and clinical data trends, I think there's always going to be a level of interpretation involved that is going to require a higher level of expertise to really make that translation. I think it's powerful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And just not for this program, but some other point, if we ever have a chance to talk again, things like the Oura Rings and the Fitbits, they measure things because they can, not because there's a reason to do it. And I mean, did you have to deal with a lot of that kind of information, as you in your role and going back to particle health, is like, look at all this information, look at all these things that have been measured. And sometimes you have to say, well, it's not, we can measure those things, but it's not useful.
Okay, so this is actually a really interesting topic. So when I was working as a primary care physician, I would have patients bring in like their one lead EKG from the Apple Watch, and it's like these strips and strips. And I'm like, I don't even know what you were doing at that time. So like, I have no context to understand your heart rate, right? Or, you know, your sleep or things like that. And I think that that shows that a lot of data that we generate is all about the context in which that occurred. And it is one of the problems we're also trying to solve for at Particle. When you look at certain pieces of data, how do we give you the right context so you understand this data happened when this diagnosis was made and this person was in the hospital is different than this occurred when they were sitting at home on their couch, right? And I think that understanding that context is really important. And it's also a super interesting problem. And it also speaks to the fact that right now we're kind of in the place where we're actually able to capture and generate more data than we understand its usefulness at this point in time, right? We can capture a lot of data. We don't have a great understanding of how useful some of this data is. And that really goes into like medical research and our ability to kind of push that line and understand. But I do think that the ability to capture that data is really the first step to understanding whether or not and in what context that information is actually useful.
So does the particle health program and interface, does it act as a filter to make sure that, how does it decide what the relevant data is to let through the filter to get on the screen?
Yeah, so today at Particle, we only connect to EMR data. So data that would be stored in an EMR.
Okay.
But I do see us in a world where if you think about wanting to understand all of the data that your patient generates, that probably is a lot of different types of data that we don't consider to be healthcare data today, right? So we know that there's a lot of things that affect your health besides whatever your doctor puts into an EMR, obviously. So that could mean wearable devices. It could also mean like where you live, what kind of food you eat, your access to be able to get to doctors, to hospital systems, to food, like whether you live in a food desert. Like, I think we know that a lot of those things have a strong impact on your health. And I would love to see a world where we eventually are able to tap into all those data sources to put together a clear picture where you would not only be able to affect the lives of individual patients and give individuals an understanding of like, if you do this, this is what will happen or what is most likely to happen by this percentage. But you could also start to get to a world where you can take a higher level view of, hey, patients in this area, in this population or seen by this provider require X, Y, and Z resources so that organizations are able to make business decisions on like, hey, we really need to provide this type of service for our patients. It's also a way that you could start looking at information like, hey, this area has a food desert that really requires an easier or more accessibility to vegetables or something like that, right? So I think there's a lot of different ways you can use this information that's super exciting.
Cool. And we're going to come back and we're going to hear about some more of these exciting things after we take a break for some brief underwriting announcements. This is Health 411, and you are listening to 107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant, that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell, to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties, to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health.
There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com. You're listening to Health 411. I'm Professor Jonathan Karp. Dan and I are having a conversation with Dr. Carolyn Ward, the Director of Clinical Strategy at Particle Health. And at the end of the last segment, Dr. Ward was talking a little bit about data in the context of data. And I'm going to ask the question is, even as you guys are organizing data for physicians and other caregivers and things, you have to be careful, I would imagine, just by presenting data. Do you want people living for data points? Or is there a, you're trained a physician, so I'm going to ask this. Do you treat a physician on the data point? Or do you treat the person as a whole? And ask quality of life questions. And you see where I'm going? You're in the tech world. Absolutely. So I'm asking you to go back to connected to a human.
Absolutely. So it's actually really interesting. I'll kind of frame it first in kind of a technical speak, so to say, which is that a lot of their information that's in an EMR is either structured, like it's an ICD-10 code for a specific.
Now, you've said that a couple times. I just want to make clear for anyone who's listening, that's the electronic medical records.
That's correct.
Yeah, speaking code, we're used to it. Yeah.
Yes. Or it's unstructured, meaning it's like free text. And we know that a lot of information about a patient actually lives in the free text portion. That's where a physician has gone in to say something qualitative about who this person is. And we don't have a great way of capturing a lot of that information today, or even understanding what parts of that information are actually useful.
And is that kind of information like, the patient was talking to me, but he was slumped over, looking at the ground,
like that in-person context where you're like, I can write down all these things about you, but just looking at those data points, I'm not really able to convey to you that this person still doesn't look well.
Correct.
Right? Or they don't look happy, or they're not engaged. And I think that actually those softer aspects of medicine and understanding and connecting with individuals is where I would like to see us allow physicians to spend more of their time. Because I think that when you think about what actually is useful in medicine, right? Yes, we'd like to be able to understand what's wrong with you. Then we'd like to be able to say, this is what you need to do about it. But the actual rubber meets the road is getting patients to take action on their health. And that is a very hard thing to do if you don't understand who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, yes, we need to be able to use data to inform these decisions. But on the other hand, there is still that aspect of understanding who that person is, what are the constraints that they're living with and the barriers that they're coming up with so that you can make a true effective change in their life.
Now, does Particle Health's platform allow sort of the digestion and synthesis of those text boxes?
So that's the interesting thing where I would say that in the future, actually those things I'm calling the softer aspects.
Yeah, the soft aspects, yeah.
Yeah. Those actually could become their own data points, right? So what we essentially are trying to do at Particle is absolutely, we're starting with the stuff that's already structured in the EMR, but we do want to get to that world where we are looking through that free text and being able to pull over that context of who that person is. But also at the same time, understanding what are the parts of that free text that are truly valuable and in what ways are they valuable? And so how do you pull that through, right? And I think that actually there's some other companies that, do natural language processing and understanding this physician wrote this set of words and that phrase means that this person actually also has this other diagnosis. But I think the more interesting part of that world is, how do we capture, like, who is this person, right? How do they respond to things? What's their personality like? And how does that actually affect their health?
Yeah. And one of the hardest things to do in medicine is to change people's behavior. Friends who are clinical psychologists who work with people who have, like, behavioral issues or addiction. It's really hard to change people's behavior, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard even for, like, something completely non-clinical related. Like, I want to wake up 10 minutes earlier than usual.
Right, yeah.
Even that behavior change is quite difficult.
Wow. So does the particle health organization of data records, is it in some way designed with sort of that, you know, ways that to help physicians change the behavior of their patients?
I would say that's a really good question. I would say the place that we're starting at right now is giving physicians a clear understanding of what is available and what is important in the comprehensive clinical record of a patient. But
so it's still up to the physicians then to make all the decisions about what the plan is going to be, what's going to be the path forward kind of thing. It's still up
to
them.
Yes, that's correct.
Cool. And so what does the director of clinical strategy say that the future of particle health is going to be? Like, we know what it's sort of doing now. What's it going to be doing looking ahead?
I would say that what I would love to see is essentially a way for organizations, healthcare organizations, to use this comprehensive data on individual patients to better understand where their patients are getting care, why they're getting care in that kind of fashion, and what is actually happening in a holistic way to that patient in the healthcare system in the United States, so that they would be able to have better line of sight in the future of what is likely to happen to this patient so that they could intervene. I think that is always the goal. And when we think about what that process will entail, I think it essentially entails the ability to grasp a full understanding of the patient and then understand what your organization's piece to play in that patient's health is, and understand what are the metrics you need to track to understand if you're doing a good job, right? So we want to get to a world where we are allowing organizations to create custom metrics using different data elements so that they're able to really pinpoint where they need to intervene with whom and how.
Cool. And so your role then of clinical strategy is sort of to provide sort of the expertise of interpersonal relations and patient contact to a team of software engineers and business people and venture capitalists and all these people who have no idea of the training and background that you've gone through. Is that sort of right?
Yeah, I kind of see my role as like two parts. The first part is obviously informing, like bringing the medical expertise of how different pieces of clinical data are connected, how they get used, and how the healthcare system generally works with patient workflows, clinical workflows. But I also think that the other part of it is the healthcare system context of what are the main pain points that physicians and patients suffer from in the healthcare system, and what are the areas that I feel that comprehensive clinical data could be a solution for those pain points.
Excellent. Dan is giving me the signal. So unfortunately afterward, we're sort of running out of time a little bit. We have a couple seconds. Anything last at the end you want to add to the podcast?
I would just say that I think we're living in a really exciting time where the ability to like generate and gather and capture data is really ramping up, especially in the healthcare system. And so I think there's going to be a lot of really cool and exciting things to watch out for in the future.
Excellent. That's a great way to end the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been a great guest. This is 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com. We're recording live from the Digital Bronx Studios. Thank you for listening to Health 411. This program is part of Capital Health and Rider University's efforts to bring people together to address issues associated with all aspects of health and healthcare. I want to thank again Dr. Carolyn Ward, the Director of Clinical Strategies at Particle Health. We hope today's conversation has helped giving you things to think about comprehensive data for patient and comprehensive data patient management. If you have questions and or comments about this program or want to make suggestions for future broadcasts, please email us at health411@rider.edu.
Remember, you have a doctor's appointment scheduled for every Sunday at 10 a.m. Don't miss the all-new Health 411 with Dr. Jonathan Karp and our expert medical guest from Capital Health. You can listen to Health 411 anytime on demand. Go to 1077thebronx.com/health411 to listen to past episodes. Or tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. to hear the weekend rewind edition of Health 411. Health 411 on 1077 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff as well as advanced technology.